This next item is blindness across borders, perspectives on independence and emerging issues of common interest to the blind around the world. I'm pleased to have with us the treasurer of the World Blind Union. She's a good friend of the National Federation of the Blind. She comes from New Zealand. Here's Martine Abel Williamson.
I was wondering what song I'm going to get. I feel like saying hello to family who I've never met before, just because it's my first convention and I've been made so welcome. And apart from being made to feel very welcome, I've been through a bit of stress this week, which I will share with you as part of my presentation. So. Only family can support you through some stressful situations, so you are truly my family. So greetings from the World Blind Union and from New Zealand. Many of my colleagues are not able to make it this time round, but of course you do have President of the World Blind Union, Dr. Fritz Schroeder here, so you can't really complain. So before I talk a bit about our work and our priorities and some of our research, I'll just make a disclaimer about my accent, or people here say my accent. If you want a good translation of what I'm saying, then I believe your president, Rick Obono, is very good. A couple of years ago, he and a few colleagues hosted me over dinner, and as the evening went on, he was the one who understood me the best. So, so he's either got great linguistic skills or he can fake it very well, which I won't say. Or those from Wisconsin can actually understand me well. So maybe, you know, take your pick. So the work of the World Blind Union, in which the Federation is heavily involved on behalf of the U.S., is an organization made of 190 countries. Of course, we welcome more. And I realize that others in the room here from other countries are also mostly all of you affiliates with the World Blind Union. Every 4 years, we have a quadrennial plan. Nothing happens very fast, and we have to work collaboratively. So every 4 years, our members tell us what are their priorities. As the lead to do with access to the environment and transport, I was picking up on the committee's work, and we were told that the following items are, we have to provide priority over the 4 years. Now, of course, next year, the 4 years end. Now, the first one, if I say it the New Zealand way, I say shared spaces, and I think that many people said to me, what is shared spaces? So I will try to say shared spaces, and then you know that it's where areas where vehicles and people can move around at the same time, safely. So we developed a position statement, so if any of you are very keen on that, please, we do have a position statement on shared spaces. Our next item is autonomous vehicles, and I'm not going to add anything because very skilled people before me did talk a lot about that. But I will say briefly about our third item is audio description. We've raised this under the area of access to the environment because most of you, and I've heard a great resolution yesterday coming from this floor, know audio description in cinema and theater and movies. We're now trying to encourage audio description more in external tours, outside tours, more in museums instead of not just historical facts, but how can people do proper audio description? Smart cities is another area that we're investing in heavily, because hopefully it's an equalizer where developing countries and developed countries can experience how technology, mobile apps, vehicles connecting with one another can make a city accessible no matter in which area of the world you are. Now, the last item I want to focus on a bit with more detail, because that is, in me being here, literally across borders, is to do with international travel access. Now, many of you have put in a great deal of work in the areas such as developing accessible self-serving kiosks at airports, as well as accessible in-flight entertainment systems, call buttons. I would say call buttons, but then people think I say C-O-R-E, so I say call buttons. And, of course, traveling with a guide dog. And I've decided to do some experiential research, which is really if you go through something yourself and you write it up, it's great research. So I've decided that we haven't done a cost survey of traveling with a guide dog since 2015. So I'll do it this time. I'll bring Weston, my guide dog. Again, when I told everybody here over the last few days his name is Weston, people thought it's Winston and Wester, so I'll say it's W-E-S-T-I-N, Weston. I think my American is getting better. So Weston, he doesn't come when I say Weston, I've got to say Weston. So in April, I was very proactive. In April, I decided to start to make plans and be proactive and independent. And I was told it takes long, but it's not too difficult. Three agencies and three months and seven agencies within New Zealand later, I learned that you need to get an export certificate for your dog to leave the country, an import certificate into the States, and an export certificate out of the States. Eight different websites provided contradictory information, and I think I've filled in more forms than anybody would need to. So finally, getting to the States, and I was told there's only one thing you'll need to do when you're in the States. You can't make this appointment before you get to the States. You've got to wait till you're in the States, and then you organize for a USDA, a United States, to do with Department of Agriculture vet to sign off your export certificate back to New Zealand. Easy. So I arrived on Sunday, and on Monday I started to clarify, and most vets here said they're not USDA certified. Yesterday, while streaming the convention in my room instead of being here, I called 12 veterinarians. Fortunately, through the presidential suite and the hospitality suite and Lucas from Seeing Eye, I received help to finally contact the head office of USDA in Sacramento, and it went like this. I was telling my story. Now, when you're upset, or when you're me, you tend to talk fast at times. So my first stumble block was, ma'am, you're speaking too fast. Can you please repeat yourself? And I thought, take a deep breath, be calm, repeat myself. Then I've asked for an address. They said, excuse me, I can't get your accent. I said, an address. It took me 2 minutes to realize I have to ask for an address. So they provided me an address in LA, because they said if I can't get certified in Las Vegas, I'll need to get one at the airport. But I may need to change my flight because I've got a 4-hour stopover and I'll need to leave the airport because vets don't work at the airport. I mean, how dare blind people travel over weekends, right? So I rang the airport. The closest place to the airport. And by that time, I was very upset. Do you have the saying of a meltdown? Or I lost it? Well, I was sitting there streaming the convention, hearing about, by that time it was close to midday, so all the beautiful sponsors and money was coming in from the affiliates. And I was in a state, and I heard the third person saying to me, not just, you're speaking too fast, and we can't get your accent, but ma'am, I can't understand you when you're upset. And I'm like, the point is not to understand me. The point is to do something. Anyway, to sort of calm myself down. So if anybody ever tells you that no one will be upset if they get stuck in Vegas, you've now met someone who said over the phone yesterday, I'm going to get stuck here and my family's going to kill me. Fortunately, yesterday I went to an ordinary vet who did Certificate A, and 5 to 2 this afternoon I received confirmation that tomorrow in LA I've got a USDA appointment. I'm still waiting for my flight change to come through, but at this stage I'm trying not to think too much about it. So, now the cost. I was hoping to write up a paragraph after this visit. I'll need to calm down and find a good way of writing something that can be, that is allowed to be published. But to talk about in 2 countries, 13 agencies later, at the moment I've spent $1,500, not on myself, on his paperwork. And because of the special call out at the airport tomorrow, because they don't work on a Saturday, it's probably another $500. And that is not for the cost of the certificate, that is for the call out. So, yes. The other barrier, I believe, is attitude. I think, you know, it sounds like a first world problem that we don't have guide dogs traveling with us. We get told they're in the cabin. Other dogs are not. We sort of have to be happy with that. But can you tell me, in 1999, when your President Bill Clinton visited New Zealand, do you think any department told his staff that they have to wait for a heartworm examination to come through before they sign off one last page of 7? I don't think so. When the great earthquake hit Christchurch about 4 years ago and Japanese rescuers with their dogs turned up, do you think the airport said, we're going to charge you a call-out fee because you're traveling over an emergency over a weekend? I don't think so. But as disabled or blind people, we get penalized for not traveling Monday to Friday between 8 to 5. That is just so. So I suppose, in summary, I think, you know, I really deserved my presentation to talk about travel across borders, and I want to just say that I've been made very, very welcome by so many of you. I had a great time so far, and hopefully, with things in the future, people can visit easier. On Sunday, when I turned up, I thought I better not go to bed too soon, otherwise I'll get awake too early. So my first welcome from you was when I discovered your karaoke event. And it's going on from now. Every day I meet new people. Allowed me to conclude with a saying from our Maori people in New Zealand, our indigenous people of the land. They say, an ancient saying, between my food basket and your food basket, the people will thrive. And although, like many sayings, it starts off being literally about food and survival, and not just survival, but about thriving, it became a saying that many of us use around sharing knowledge and experience. And that is what I find was so wonderful, to share knowledge and to learn from you all over this past few days. So I want to thank President Riccobono for inviting me, and I want to thank all of you for making this convention something that I won't forget, never mind all the other things that might have happened in the meantime. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martine.